dangerous if the paradrop is carried out, but it'll be dangerous if it isn't. And that under the circumstances, the danger of carrying it out is less than the danger of not carrying it out.
Well, now you've got this feedback all over town, I think from the same source that claim that every man in state is against it.
Oh,
and the secretary came in, and that from Harriman down to the bottom one, they thought it, Brubeck, everybody thought it was terrible.
Well, I thought.
And that Russ came in and said that he rather thought it ought to be done, and that everybody ran on the table. But they're going around town peddling this kind of stuff. I just had a fella come in to me. I haven't called anybody else. The next man I'm going to call is Russ. But I'm not going to tell him. I've discussed it with folks, but I just, I don't like them to be cutting at him.
No, I don't think it's fair to do that, Mr. President, because I am just positive that Harriman was in favor of this. At least he led me to believe he was. And Harriman's taken a pretty firm line on the Congo situation. For example, over the objection of another group at state that pressed for a reconnaissance plane to fly over Stanleyville, or at least fly 10 or 15 miles off the center of Stanleyville so we could get a blank photographs of the area. And this because we said that if they wanted a U.S. military operation over there, we couldn't possibly carry it out unless we had some photographs of the area and knew what we were dropping into or knew what we were sending troops into. So much over the objection of others at state, Harriman strongly urged that this be done, and Dean approved it, which we did. I cite this only to illustrate that he's been a very firm individual, and it was my understanding that this Belgian paradrop operation evolved out of his talks in Belgium. Although it didn't come up at that particular time, it came about as a result of his conversations, and that Spock was in favor of it, and therefore, from my point of view, state was proposing it, and we went along with it because I valued Dean's judgment on this issue. Dean has been very much concerned about the lives of the Americans in Stanleyville, and his.
I think we've got to be. I think that flag's got to go with that person, and we've got to stand up and not let the Afro-Asians run over us. And I just took that position when these folks talked to me about it and said, I'm just damn tired of a bunch of folks like this saying they got a right to kill American people and we haven't even got a right to furnish a plane to try to get them out, and so forth. But the State Department group is putting out some bad stuff, and the thing that's coming to my desk is that all of them are against this. From Harriman down, except Rusk, and he came in the meeting late, and they ran under the table. But
well, Rusk is definitely in favor of this. There's no doubt about that. But I'm perfectly willing to stand with him and be known as being in favor of it in the press. I know he's very much concerned about the lives of these people. He has proposed policies that I would not have proposed in order to save their lives. But in any case, that was his proposal, and I supported him on it. I cite this only to indicate that he's taking a damn firm, hard line and trying to preserve the lives of those people, and he strongly believes that this paradrop will act in that in the course of that objective, and I'm strongly in favor of supporting him, therefore.
Now, when you when it's leaked, though, and they have advance notice, does that change your...
Well, I noticed the leaks, and I saw some cables referring to them today. I don't think it does. It's just terribly hard to evaluate the psychology of these rebels. I don't know whether you noticed a cable that came in here about a week ago, but it told of one of the rebel leaders in Stanleyville going up to the former mayor of the city and taking a knife out and slitting him down the front, reaching in and picking out his kidney and eating it when the man was alive. Now, I don't know how you deal with people like that. I don't know how you interpret what they'll do if we fly an airplane over there. or if we drop some paratroopers. I talked to General DeKumar, who is currently the head of the standing group here in Washington, and who was formerly General Wheeler's counterpart in the Belgian Army, and he personally has carried out operations in the Belgian Congo. And he says he thinks the rebels are more affected by show of power, such as a drop of Belgian paratroopers, and will be less likely to kill the Americans under those circumstances than they will be if we appear weak. And so I'm taking his view plus Dean Rusk's. But I can't guarantee it's a proper interpretation of their psychology.
Now, you been any work on talent today? Any time on my talent scout,
no,
the CIA,
no,
anything? You're an honest man.
No, sir, I haven't.
Honest man. Well, you just said you had one out of that six on your list today. He came in, and he has it in mind, wanting to take the new man on a tour right away of the world.
Oh, really?
So he wants me to pick the new man so he can take him on tour. He said that he had talked to a fellow that had announced in the papers that Mac had talked about some, and said that he wasn't interested in it. And I said, well, I'm going to look at some others, and you make me some recommendations. And the only recommendation he had is that hadn't already told him they wouldn't take it. I don't know how wide he spread it around. I'm sorry he spread it at all, but it was Frank Pace.
Well, I think that'd be absolutely the wrong thing.
He recommended Frank Pace on the ground that he has had experience and great interest in this, and he wasn't responsible for the Convair debacle, and that he had told the board that, made him run under the table, and they wanted to elect him chairman of the board and so forth. I didn't know anything about that, but anyway, he thinks he's pretty confident. Do you have a question?
I certainly do, Mr. President. I think it'd be definitely the wrong thing to do. I think people who work with Frank Pace closely here in the building and others in business would all agree with me. He was responsible for the Convair debacle. Not no one man can be responsible for everything that goes wrong in a large corporation like that, but he, as much as any single man, was responsible for it. And moreover, when he was here in the department, I think he's much longer on talk than he is on thought. He's an awfully nice guy. He's a very fine person to work with. But that's certainly my opinion. Now Clark Clifford has worked with him over a period of time. Maybe he'd have a different one.
Well, I'm getting a little bit afraid to talk much outside of the administration because there are too many special articles being written and too many people are telling us, counseling us, and they're getting too much publicity, and I think it's pretty dangerous if we're not careful that way, because I think people are going to feel pretty soon that we got a shadow government.
Well, I wouldn't hesitate a bit in recommending against Frank Pace for this job.
That's about the only one he came up. I just can put it on paper and give me...
He came over here and talked to me after he talked to you. Told me some substance of your conversation that you'd ask him for names and so on. He wanted to get some names from me. And in the course of the conversation, he mentioned Frank Pace, and I told him just what I've told you, that I think it'd be a serious mistake to recommend Pace. And I did tell him the two names that I'd mentioned to you, Perkins, of Cornell and Clark Kerr of California.
Watson's going to come in where the president, his president's wife's got cancer, and the next man's got some other personal problem, and he just can't do it. He's going to come in my judgment the next day or two, so we've got to be thinking somebody
else.
You want
me to think about some others? I'll be happy to do
sure
that.
Sure do. Now, what makes you think you could get Kerr?
Well, I don't have any reason to believe it other than that frankly, people talk to me about going to the University of California as president. Now, these were people, I want to emphasize, they weren't talking officially. They didn't have any real knowledge that Kerr was going to leave. But this was about a year ago, and it was just after the president died, and they were wondering whether I was going to stay and so on. And they said, and they knew I came from California. So they said to me then that Kerr had about enough of it. He'd been there a number of years. He'd accomplished a lot. That he wanted to change the scene. And that's absolutely all I know about it, except that during the last 12 months, on several occasions, the same thought has been expressed to me about Kerr by people that know him pretty well. Now, I don't know that he'd come into the government, and if he did come in, I don't know he'd take that job. But I think he's well worth considering for it.
Have you thought about the best way to try to get him?
Well, I wouldn't mind talking to him myself initially, if you wanted, Mr. President. I know him well enough to do that. Or you could just pick up the telephone and call him directly. That might be a better way. But I think first we ought to get you some names so you can look down the list and decide whether they're better choices than Kerr.
Who else do you think of in the field is Commerce?
Well, I don't have any other suggestions tonight. I want to think about it. I don't think you want a typical businessman. You don't want to get yourself tagged with an ultra-conservative kind of an individual. Watson is not.
Some of them go pretty strong on Collins, Governor Collins.
Well, I think he'd be pretty good.
Do you know him?
I do. I don't know him nearly as well as I'm sure
he's
you do.
He's a pretty modern Southern.
That's right. I agree. He's a pretty modern Southern, and moreover, he knows things that the typical businessman wouldn't know in that job, how to get along in government, how to get things done politically.
And he's pretty enlightened,
yeah,
too.
That's right. I think he's a good choice. I think this man, we talked briefly about at the ranch as a possibility, John Connors of Merck. He's one of the brighter and more perceptive and more liberal businessmen. Not nearly as liberal as Watson. But
so he got a bunch of lawsuits against him?
Well, he's in the drug business, but I know more than most businessmen have. No, I don't
I don't know. Do you ever read an FBI on anybody you try to employ?
I know just what you mean.
That's the damnedest thing I ever saw, Bob. Would you have any hesitancy in employing a man in the White House that had been fined for drunkenness?
No.
20 years ago?
No.
Found it on John Macy today.
No.
He's head of the civil service. Did I tell you that?
No, you didn't tell me, but I think he's an excellent man.
I thought I'd try to put him in Dunnigan's place.
I think it'd be an ideal choice for the job, President. I wish I'd thought of it. He's a good man. I had thought about trying to get him over here, as a matter of fact.
Oh, now, goddammit, you just quit. You go to think about getting men for me and Marge. You look after us. You can take care of yourself, but you get somebody to...
Well, I thought about asking if I could have him over here to be Assistant Secretary of Manpower, because I think he's a good man, Mr. President. I wouldn't care whether he'd been arrested yesterday for drunkenness.
Well, don't say that to anybody but you, but I have to tell you, and I just wanted to get your little snap judgment on it. And
I think he's just an excellent choice for the job.
Okay, all right. You get me some more lists, and I'll talk to you tomorrow. I'm leaving next day, you know.
I know that.
All right.
And we've got the U2 study underway.
All right.
Thanks.